Okay, so now we're going to, okay? So now we're going to do the Rambam in Akdama to Perek Chelek, which is probably his most famous piece of his most famous Akdama, and in many ways one of the most famous pieces of his, where he develops the concept of Ikrei Emuna. Now, let's talk a little bit about this. It's since today, Baruch Hashem, everyone has an Ipcha Mistavra, that things that we assume to have been true, everybody feels is not true. One of the things that has been contested by people who like to contest things is there a Musik of Ikrei Emuna? Does Judaism require that you believe in something or not? So someone actually has written a book trying to prove that each one of you give Ikrim, there's somebody who doesn't hold like it. But Lemaisa, first thing, is there something you have to believe in? So there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah Chelek says, "Kol Yisrael Yishal Chelkom Haba Shnema VeAmerkul Sadikim VeElu SheEinam Chelkom Haba HaOim Ein Tchias HaMeisim VeEin Termin HaShemayim VeApikores." So two of the three for sure are theological issues. HaOim Ein Tchias HaMeisim means you have to believe in Tchias HaMeisim VeEin Termin HaShemayim means doesn't believe in Termin HaShemayim. There's no two ways around it. And it's very clear from the Mishnah that you have a musig of a certain set of deis and amunas that are mandatory to agree that you don't have a chelkom haba if you don't believe in it. And then we have apikoris. We don't know what apikoris is, but whatever it is, it obviously is in the same category of not believing certain fundamentals of faith. So one cannot make a statement that Yiddishkeit does not mandate believing. It's a Mefurasha Mishnah. Now, the Rambam here, because these inyanim of Emuna are cannot not mentioned anywhere as such, there's nowhere, really you find a Mishnah that has a halacha in Emuna and Deis. I mean, you have every so often a little bit of a Musar, V'chiyad of Shalmais and Mulchamis, and Ma'amikim, Tarasat, Meim, Afkash, Mekah, Yisrael. But to speak theology as such, it's rare. And this Mishnah is one of the very few that actually sort of gives a theology. It also, the Mishnah tells us something else. Kol Yisrael Chekol Mahaba. That's pure theology, that's not a mitzvah, it's not a ver, there's nothing here other than just an understanding of a big picture of what our world is like. So all of these inyanim are things that are a reason for the Ram to explain it, because there is nowhere else that there's any structured explanation of it. And the Rambam over here gives it, and then in Yisrei Torah, he gives it in the way he would do it in Mishnah Torah. He said, I feel therefore that I must say many fundamental points about Emunah. Da, ki anshi atayra, meaning people who are faithful followers of Torah, doesn't mean here chachmei Torah. Nechleku deaseyem betoiva ashe yizke lo ha'odom bikim ala mitzvah shevan Hashem ben Amish Rabbeinu. O beruah shem tzayisonim navalim, Machlokas Rabbi Mod. There is a great dispute if what exactly is the nature of this reward. It says Kol Yisrael Yishal Chelkom Haba. So it's some sort of good reward. That's clear, that we have no suffix about. But what exactly it is, there's big machlokas. Nefi chiluk hascholim. You know, each person on with his own bent of mind. V'nishtapsu b'zeh hadeyos shibush rav. And there are many, many false deus nesinyan. Ad shekemat lo timtza b'shum ponim odom shezvar lo inyan zeh. You just about don't find anyone who really understands it or knows it. V'chein lo timtza b'dvar mochlotim le'ish al b'bavrav. You also don't find anything clear to a person, just a big mishmash. Hine. Kat echot tamin. There's a group of people believes ki atoiv omnom hi gan veiden. They believe that in a reward of Gan Eden. That's good. But they picture Gan Eden. It's a place where your food and drink is on the house, so to speak. that there be beautiful houses built out of diamonds and gems and all sorts of silk carpets and stuff like that. Or Naharis Moshe Yayin Shantavim, with rivers of wine and good oils. V'Abrizamin, that is the good. V'Chiyara Gehenim, the bad is Gehenim. V'Chiyu Mokum Yerkeh, the place is very hot. Yisorfu Ba'Gufos, where the bodies will burn. V'Sanabum Nadam Mina Inu Yehbura, and people are tortured really, really terribly, and they will describe all the different tortures. V'Zarka Tobi Rails, they said Munamor Rab Memarah Chamaner Shalom. And they will bring proof. So many, many chazal. Asher chayecha, means I swear to you, ye osu pshoteim l'tanosam or l'ruba. They're quite supportive of this taina. Now, let's just think a second about who, what, when. This is a very, very common Muslim understanding of Olam Haba. They picture it to be as physical as anything that we could picture in this world, with all the, all the pleasures and none of the problems. Now, let's just think a minute about what's wrong with that picture. It's something which, we could say we have Mesoris, but and so on, but what would be wrong with something like that? So, an abstract, more theological argument is that Olam Haba is meant to be something eternal, forever. Physical things just don't stay forever and don't stay eternal and so on. That's the norm. But I think there's a much better taina. Let's try to understand what was the point of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu structured this world. In this world, physical things are usur, many physical pleasures are usur, and many physical things were restrained from using. So we have on us injunctions against doing many, many things that are pleasurable, physically pleasurable, for the years that we live in this world. And then in Olam Haba, it's free, on the house forever. Now, it doesn't make any sense. If food and drink are good, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu deny it from us in this world? I mean, what's this problem? Why do we need to deny ourselves for 70 years and then go on to this great Gan Eden? Well, basically what we're doing is it's a bacchanalian for eternally. If in this world HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that drinking wine and nazis kadosh doesn't drink wine and arayas is kadoshim prushim and so on, so what changed? The way we mean, by the way, it's something which is going to, we understand that the greater pleasure in the world is a ruchnistic pleasure. This world, by moving away from the physical pleasures, we slowly gain the ability to move into ruchnistic pleasures. The cat shnir tamin v'tachshav. The second cat believes, cat toiva miyuchelas omi moysa mashiach. Toiva is the moysa mashiach. Meheri gola. V'shaboyis as mei baruch kulam melachim tibidim. People will be kings. V'yatz mugufay sehem, and they'll become strong. V'yashiva arutz kulo laad. They'll conquer the world. Boyisa mashiach yifchia lefi machshav netzchaburi. And that mashiach will live as eternal as the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sorry, mashiachoi. And the ground will grow clothing, pre-made garments and baked bread and so on. Again, this is based on Chazal, but people take it very literally and they see it as coming with Mashiach, and this is the way the world should be. The bed is not in Gehenim, but it's just that you're not around it. So once again, they make two points. They make a point that the schar is in this world, in the physical world, and it happens at the advent of Mashiach, and that freed the tanugim and the of this world after Mashiach comes constitutes Ischan Einish. So according to this group, Mashiach and the Mashiach and the and Schar Vonish are really, really identical. Which is also in the Psukim without Mashim Psukim, we have a we need Rayas Mashiach, that there's a Mashiach in the world and so on. Vikach Lishi Tashev Katav Michal Schis Amesim. The third cut thinks that Tchias Amesim is what we want. Vahu Shayichi Ha'odam Achamoisei, that a person after he dies will come back. Vyasis Mesa Krevov, he'll be together with his family. Yochel v'li yishtav v'liyom esod, he'll eat and drink without dying. V'ra, and the bad is shalo yichye. V'virayel zagam kemar chazal, k'tas p'suk imikri esas tainet. So these three kitas, the one thing in common of all three is that the enjoyments that the Torah promised are physical, and therefore the question is just, when would that happen? Do we say it would happen or when the person dies, but the etzim inyan of what it is that's awaiting a person depends on, in other words, what awaits the person is an olam, a melech, a yimayis ha-mashiach, a tchias ha-mesim, according to third pshat, and yimayis ha-mashiach, second pshat, and then it's again physical pleasures. Vikatrivi Tachshov, the fourth. Now it's very hard to know exactly who the Rambam refers to in all these things. There wasn't very, very much written before the Rambam on Ikrei Emuna. Bechlal, you know, the only Sefer Gaonim that we have that sort of speaks about it in some ways is Reb Sadia Gaon and Emunas V'Deis. And some of a lot of his things are built around the Yesodos of Reb Sadia Gaon. But who were all these people, and were they shitas of chasha people or shitas of amiratzim and so on? We don't know. Vekatrivi is tachshav katoiva sheniska niska b'kiyam mitzvos hinachas aguf umilu hatikvus halomis b'olam hazeh kituv v'aretz v'hamam v'bonim v'arichos yom v'yizkuf habitochen v'esamachas b'kirbeinu v'achinan seveinu. There's a fourth cut that sort of takes the psukim in Bechukosai to mean this is Charvonish, and this is going to happen now in our very, not Mashiach, not Chias Mesim, right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu will do good for the good people and bad for the bad people, and we realize that everything Charvonish fully in this world. And it says, the bad that happens is that we don't have it in this world, like the Pashto Lashon to Teichacha. And it must have shown by Zan and Zer, Zman and Gals. V'yaviyu raya, levi machshavt, and the raya they bring is, b'chol kisuvi ha-toyah b'brachs ha-klazu lason, ha-yidu mitzim b'mikra, from everything that's written in the Pesukim. Whatever's written in the Pesukim certainly must be understood as being physical realities. Pesukim don't speak in such exaggerated metaphor. You know, occasionally you can touch a word as being a metaphor, place or las alev, or something like that. But you can't touch a parsha. Parsha speaking about the physical world, olam hazeh, and the fact that a person is part and parcel of this world, and this is what he has. So he says, bekat chamishes yarov, and the fifth cut is the rov. They sort of make a whole. They believe in all the above. So they basically have it as one thing. Mashiach with Chias HaMesim together with Olam Haba is all great and so on. Ve'omnam zeh chidush hanifla. The real chiddush, in other words, chiddush is describing olam haba, which is unusual. It's different. It's a leim olam haba me'at timtza bechal mishalei al daitoi o yachshaboy o yikach zeika o yishal ze Hashem al ezedav u'nofel. V'matachas achnades akoyd mesi atachlis. They're going to have a problem to understand. I mean, people don't ask the right questions regarding this chazal over here. The ability that people need to analyze, and when they say, you know, Olam Haba, what are we talking about? Where's it coming from? Is it a tachlis, or is it something before the tachlis, and so on? People don't have even that mental ability to size up a situation and ask intelligent questions. He says, but you don't find anyone asking about this or talking about this. People do have questions. For instance, when dead people arise, will they be naked or dressed? Same clothing, and beautiful clothing. So I guess these are the type of questions that really, really are indicative of a person that has zero hasaga of what we're talking about. It's just for him a glorified form of Olam Hazeh. It's nothing there different. So he says, a person's question can be when the mason get up, will they get up with their clothing, without their clothing? It's basically very, very tied to the absurdity. There's nothing of any depth or any understanding in it. He says, So also when Mashiach comes, exactly what will happen in the world? Will it be miraculous? Not miraculous. And of course the Rambam sheet is that when Mashiach comes, the world is zero miraculous. It's the world is, he passes like Rambam Yama, that the Olam Minhagei Noeg and so on. Like upon him, he says that the people who, even if people do believe it, never give it any serious thought to know how much and so on. So basically, we have two items to figure out in the world of Schar and Onish. First of all, what Kufa is Schar Onish? And whatever you'll tell me, the question is, so what do we need the other Kufas for? If it happens at Tchias HaMeisim, so skip Malcha Mashiach. Happens Malcha Mashiach, skip Tchias HaMeisim. That's one point. The second point is you have a whole bunch of different items such that you also have at some point an understanding that the neshama is ruchni, and it's very, very hard to see how ruchnistic entity can enjoy things that are physical. Well, what's the kesha? Okay, so he says, the questions that the people ask themselves are stupid questions, basically. He says that these questions are not sechli questions, they're not the right way of looking at it. We'll see later, he talks about it. Okay, base. Now he's going to give a certain mashal about why is it that the Torah does speak like that. So obviously the Rambam is not going to be saying that it's a physical pleasure. I assume you've guessed that by now, or you know it by now. So the question is, if the Torah doesn't mean that, so why does the Torah say these things? And it might even be misleading a bit. Why would we want to do that? Okay, so it says like this. Va'ata me'ayin, hav menizah mashal. It says, I want you to understand a certain mashal. Va'az tochen libcha l'shmoya d'var b'chol zeh. Shavei b'napshecha. It says, imagine. Ki na'ar katan. You have a young kid. Huva al melamed l'lamed Torah. He's brought to a melamed to teach him Torah. So he comes in to learn Aleph phase and so on. He's a young kitty. And he says, "Bezatoyv godolay." The Mashiach is, it's certainly, learning Torah is certainly a wonderful thing. It's obviously, But he's a young kid. He doesn't quite appreciate that it's the wonderful gift of learning Torah. It's not. That's something that really cares for. So he says, so what do we do? He needs to give an incentive. Yom tells him, Lemad, learn. I'll give you either nuts or figs. I'll give you a piece of sugar. In other words, the reward for the kid's learning will be getting a piece of something sweet to eat, a sweet. Okay. So he says, he's going to learn not for the sake of learning. He doesn't appreciate it. For the food, and for him, certainly that the if you ask him, what are you doing here 6 hours by the Rebbe, his answer will be, I'm working my way to a to some sort of suite. That's what he'll say. So he says, olefikoch yachshev v'yilmad v'yistad lo etzem olimud v'fish lo yedar ela kedei lahatsi etzemach v'achilas oysa meichel yistru v'etzem olimud yistru v'losofik. And he appreciates the food a lot more than he does the learning. Olefikoch yachshev olimud la'omol v'giyash yagabo. He will look at the learning like a chore. And it's all just the price one needs to pay in order to be zeicher to a piece of sugar. That's the scope of the kid's understanding. Now he says, v'kasher yigdal, when he gets older, v'ischazik sichloi, and he gets, he understands better. V'yekel beinav oisa davash machshiv mekoydem. V'yachsav shesulosai. He begins to admire other things. Candies and lollipops are no longer his thing. Yoyeru shuv cheshke voisa davash cheshetzloi. V'yom lamde lamadre chal manalim yofim. I beg it betor, kazev ezeh. If you learn well, I'll buy you nice shoes. I'll buy you a nice garment. V'yishtad lazeh gamkein lo letzem alimud aloisa malbush. So now the kid is learning to get the latest jacket or whatever. And he obviously admires the begit more than chachma. But when he becomes a little more understanding, I'll give you money. And money is obviously more important than learning. So then he's going to throw COVID. Learn, you'll become a big Roshiva Rav. People will admire you. They'll get up for you. He becomes as famous as so-and-so. Let's stop a minute here. He's going to obviously go into the next one. He's going to talk about Lishma and so on. But I want to first make some remarks regarding what he says about this. The first thing is, it is highly appropriate to give a kid and make the matar of his learning lo lishma, whether it's food, whether it's food or drink, whether it's money, whether it's covered or a pair of shoes. They are very, very appropriate. And the point is, the reason is because whenever I want to join two things, I need to have a translator. I need to translate the good of Torah into the language of the person. And if the person is a child and his only sense of what's good is something physical, sweet, then that's good. And there's not going to be any way to impress the concept of good on him, unless it's unless the person has unless he's dealing with sweets, with candies, and so on, because that's what it's about. Now, it's important to understand that if you were to take a child and try to teach him lishma, which is the next piece that he's going to talk about what the value of ruchnis really is, you're not going to get anywhere. Doesn't understand it, doesn't appreciate it, and you can tell him all day long that's a kal v'chaymeh, ben lo shekal v'chaymeh, certainly in our world it's not, it's wonderful. He doesn't get it, doesn't buy into it. He needs it presented in the context of a world that he appreciates, in a context of things that he appreciates. And then, slowly, as he matures and the sense of gratification of learning creeps in, then we'll have a different situation. Then we'll be able to tell him, do it because it's the right thing, because you learned it, or whatever it is. But until that point, doing it shelo lishma is very important. And it's part, I guess, of the chachma of chinuch and mechanchim to be able to discern on a child when is he ready to make that transition, when not. You know, that's really the key to whether you'll be matzliach or not. V'zeh kula meguna. He says, and it's all, meguna is a harsh word in Hebrew. It kind of means despicable. But he says, the fact that we don't value or appreciate chachma for itself, only as a chitimtza, then so long as chachma doesn't find satisfaction in itself, it's not real chachma, not lishma. The yoma. I'm going to try to get something which I thought was an illusion and now get the emes of it. He'll be kind of mitzvahs v'yasena v'ylamed v'yishtadl lo'zel v'atzmo al dova acha. Torah is not meant to be a chetimtza for something else. In other words, any shaloi lishma, and even if it's benign or whatever, but basically what I'm doing is, I'm perverting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave as emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say that the tachlis of chachma, is to get prizes or to be called a rab, whatever it is. So the person is on a low darg if he feels that way. But shaloi lishma, it means that the person is not doing it for the purpose that it's designated for. Let's give a mashal. When a person, it'll help us understand the concept of lishma. When a person does something for its designated purpose, lemashal. Let's give a. I have a what do you call them? A weight to work out with, a bar, not a bar. You know, I have dumbbells. Now. I pick up the dumbbells not because I want to do exercise, but rather because I need to move it to another side of the room. They shouldn't take up place. So I'm doing the pa'ula, but not for the purpose that it was designated for. I don't see any value in lifting the barbells, because I just don't see it for that reason. I don't know why. But my lifting it is for a very different tachlis. So when you take Torah and you use it as a means of something else, there is a certain element of betrayal. That's why Chacham said, don't make Torah into a job. You're not supposed to see it that way. Chachma should not have anything else running it except for Chachma itself. I guess the flip side of it is, he says, the Tachzis Chachma is not to make money or to use it as parnas and so on, but it's mashma that people did take money. I don't know what he's driving at. He says we're not supposed to focus. That's where parnas are from. So I mean, he says the tachlis chachma has to be the knowledge itself. V'chein ein tachlis emes al sheda shi emes. So knowing and understanding that they're true, so that you reach a tachlis when you mekayim it. But let's elaborate a little bit. Let's talk about this. When I'm oimid, if I am be'emes oimid on the amita shel Torah, so it has to dawn on me that Torah is something which is it's very mohus itself. The doing it is the emes. It's just like if I discover something in science that I feel is emes, or that is emes, then all the phenomena that flow from it should be emes as well. Anything I expect to come from it. If Torah is emes, then every aspect of the chayim, everything that Torah is telling you to do, should be sharing that same emes. It should be having that same emes. And therefore, the key of what you learn and the learning itself should be very close to each other. So he says, "V'lefikach tachlison kiyuman." Just like if I had to ask myself, why did I work so hard to discover the mechanism of the cell? So one answer is because the government gave a big award for that, and here I am. So that's one answer. The second answer is because knowing and understanding it is what I feel is chashiv, what I feel is right, what I feel is making use of it, of my time, my being. Lishma means, so lishma lumad amlas lasos is very, very tied together with the concept of Shema. Understanding this is Dvar Hashem, it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on, is something which is mechayev us. See, it says like this. Ve'ein mutar l'mashol shem esa tevus eshach mesoros yiz Hashem esa mag mulakav. An other masholim is not supposed to ask himself, well, what can I get out of this? How much money can I make off this? Lefi shezeh ke'mor hanar im elmod ma'i shalom li. As if a kid tells the Rebbe, okay, you want me to learn this perek? Tell me what your price is. Let's talk money. So when you have somebody who doesn't have the seichel to understand it, so fine, we would deal with it as it is. Tachlis avedas kimitzis dovim min advarim vehu maimar hasholim hamasig amitis antignis yisoycha. So listen to the following Mishnah. Al tiyu kavodim am shamshenes rav am nasi kavopras hey yu kavodim shas rav am nasi kavopras. You should not be like a vodim that am shamshenes rav al kavopras. You need to be like a varim that I'm shashar shas kabras. Meaning, to learn shaloi lishma is going against the ikka nekuda of what the learning is supposed to be about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that we treat Torah as the emes and give it the understanding and the credence that we reserve for emes. Things to us that are very, very emes, we do. So there also you find a mention of pasuk that even though it's easy to stick to the schar, but he should stick to the mitzvah rather than the schar. That's his focal point, is his drive should be the thing itself. So Lemaisi says that all of the mahalchim of Avodas Hashem rest on a type of attitude that he's presenting here, that a person like it because it's emes and keep it that way. Let me explain a draft the Knetcha is adding over here, why the person himself can be good. Avraham Avinu, who's the Oyvid Ba'ava, he's the what's the right word for it? The paradigm for Avodas Hashem and so on. If a person does it for schar, then automatically he's not Toifas or Torah is. Now, going back to the point about the mitzvahs, when a person is learning something for something else, then the things that I'm learning are not necessarily mechayev me to do anything or to be anything. But when I go ahead and I learn something because I feel it's the emes, then automatically the things that are said over there, what I should do and so on, are automatically mechayev me. I mean, I'm accepting this as emes. So I automatically look at this as being right. A scientist that's studying theoretical physics, and he comes up with things that he feels are emes, so any physical result of that, he believes in as well. If in the Deher of Torah, the way we're learning it now, so the doing it is something that comes locked in parts and parcels with my understanding. If I treat it as a means for something else, so I'll do it, won't do it. But if I treat it as being the emes, and this is the right in the world, for this time and place, for me, this is right, that he has from Torah. So since Chacham knew that this is a very difficult inyan, ve'ein kol echad masigoy, and people don't grasp it. And even if he understands it, he's not going to be masking. People are conditioned that they only do something for something. And how can we tell someone? People in general don't have the ability to get to the emes. V'yu kama Avraham Avinu. Olefikach hitiru. In other words, it's to expect everybody to be like Avraham Avinu is asking for way too much. Olefikach hitiru lo moin sheishor alamunasam. Masiyas atev sikas agmul. So he said, so Mela, we leave these terms. We allow things to go the way it is to salvage what, in other words, at least we'll get this amount out of the people. So the Rambam here is saying, very, very fascinating in two ways. He says, on the one hand, we need to very strongly believe the lack of any goof in Dixit and Yanam and so on and so forth. On the other hand, for the Hamoin Am, where they have it easier, when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we say that somebody can look at you and see what your ma'asim are, that's something that excites, motivates a person to do, not to do, and so on. The whenever it's something real and tangible, then a person has an easier time relating to it in terms of wanting it, not wanting to do. Things that are not real, things that are sort of ideas and concepts, for a certain group of people, it's meaningless. So if somebody says to me, you know, I'm a little scared to walk into the house here. They say this is that or the other thing. I say, well, it's not really this or that. It's just like it. So if I make a metaphor out of it, if I make some sort of, idea out of it, then people will not keep it. It's not going to motivate the vast amount of people. So Rambam says it's important sometimes to tell the emes in a different way and accomplish the tachlis when you're talking about the divrei musar and something like that in that environment. There's an akeda that he says about the kolos and brokmek and so on, that if people are if it's, what's the right word for it, if people are miming in it, and because this really keeps them straight and narrow, then it's better that than the opposite, because you really run into a dilemma every time you try to explain these in Yanim, that it's not real and the soul is not real, it's not tangible. You say it's real but it's not tangible. For us, things that are not tangible just don't exist. We don't treat it as being existent. So he says, don't. So therefore, when Chazal say a lot of things that can be explained as physical things, it's they needed to do it. They needed to do it, or they gave it over in a language that those people of that generation understands. So he says, on the fikah hitel amoin she shom and also masias atoyv sikus agmul beisrachs and rosias einish rezozals. So therefore, he allowed this theology to stay and encouraged people to do what's right. Vechsikubert says, "Sambui atchiaska masik v'yeda ha'emes v'oifra shalei mahu mershenase b'nar beisalimut kasha mashalma v'sofsu al antignas is soichay why him al shapirish b'hamoin mashapirish." About him, it says Chomei Zarb Devrechem. Ve'ina Haman Mafsidim Mikol B'Kol V'yasim Mekayim Ator Le'Yisrael Shemul. There's nothing for the Amoinam to have their Oynish and Gvul and Torah is all about that, and Chacham doesn't stand better. Ve'omli Rotzel Mazek Kedei Sheyusag Lem Kinyin Ve'Hergel B'Kiyim Ator Ve'Yosku Ala Emes Ve'Yashuvu Oivdim Me'Yosku Ava, v'hu amram ala ha-shalom, lo yidu miyatsk arim etorah afilu chulu, shalom lishma, shem tashol shma, pa lishma. The Rambam says, certainly the olam haba is nothing common thing physical. On the other hand, it's very, very important for the pasuk to deal with that. And the pasuk gives us a word that might be covering it. That's the... Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions? I'll give you a mushel. I used this mushel once. Imagine you have a little 4-year-old who's a very curious kid, always getting into trouble and so on, and he once touched a very, very hot item and he recoiled with pain. And now the same kid is standing by a lakeside about to go into the water. And You're very far away. Now, should you yell water or fire? Well, accurate is water. But water doesn't make a roshim on him. So when we say fire, what's niskavel by the child is an emes. He remembers the pain of the fire, and definitely what's going to happen to Chasson now is going to be similar to it. So here we have an example where if you take the word mitzad the teichen shemboy, then you're much better off with this. Masha ein kein, if you're taking the word in its literal translation, then it sounds like an aberration of the truth. So when the Torah speaks to me and describes to me pain for, as a consequence of X, Y, Z, I'm pretty much on mark that this is Bemis de Matzev. The problem is those will say, you know, if you're going to steal money, you'll get Gehenim. But Gehenim doesn't really burn. It's not a real fire. It's like a ruchnistic type of pain similar to this. It doesn't detract as much as when you describe, you know, a searing pot of oil with, you know, like a... Okay. So next week, Mr. I might... Yeah, sorry, what? So, since these are positive, let's do another mashal. Imagine a little kid asks you, what's a wedding? And you'll say, well, there's a lot of flowers and music and big cake and this and that. It's, in a certain sense, it's the most external trapping of the thing you are trying to convey. So yes, it's low, there's a certain, it's not very high up in what's the right word for it, in being exact or anything, but it's doing its job. This is a description for a 3-year-old, for a 5-year-old. So when a person does mitzvahs, then fine, those are the things that, you know, he finds the level at which he can relate to it, and that's his level. Okay. Yeah, sure. Where? Without taking away from that? So the Rambam gives an eight in a sense. The Rambam later will speak, and he speaks about it in Melachim. That basically all of these physical promises are true, they're obviously true, but the atachlis lies not in the etzem physical reward, but it's basically a means that we're no longer under the shibrum solom. We produce everything we need, we don't fear from them, because since the biggest moinea tavodas Hashem is this will be helpful. That's the that's basically how he described it. So it's something. Correct. In his mind, they're definitely correct. He should not. That should not be his train of thought. Unless, on the other hand, let's say somebody's about to do an Aveira. And the only thing he can, the only thing that will keep him from doing an Aveira is picturing a very, very burning Gehenim, then maybe that's what he needs to do. You know, listen, at the end of the day, it's something that, whatever it takes you not to do the Aveira, but to make that your theology is definitely not, it's not right. You need to bring it to the most refined level that will keep you true and dry. Okay, so next week in Mitzvah, my daughter is getting... Yeah? Yeah. A lot of it is not true. What? I'm sorry, what? I did not get the new one yet, and I do plan to, and I'm just waiting for the price to go down a bit, but it's mixed, you know, of